there's certain things that's very important. Mom and Daddy, they had things for us that were very important to them. And those were the things that they just continuously harped on over and over and over again and stuff, because it was for our benefit and for our good. And so there are things to me in the church house and in our Christian walk and our Christian life that's very, very important. I'm going to read some scripture from the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Begin with verse 19. God's Word said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another in fear of God. I believe it is so very, very, very important for us as Christians to always spend our time giving thanks to the Lord for what He's done for us on a daily basis. Because we don't really know how good the Lord has been to us. I see my good friend, Brother David, sitting here tonight, and I'm thankful to the Lord to see him brought through that surgery and sitting here in the church house again, people. I'm thankful to see you here tonight as opposed to being somewhere maybe that you don't want to be, like at a hospital, and I said before, at a funeral home. We have so much to be thankful to the Lord for. And we need to learn that scripture right there. And every day that we live, and the time goes by while we're going through the process of that day, to take time over and over and over and over again and just say simply, thank you, Lord, for being good to me, a sinner. Because He blesses us more than what we deserve. Because we don't deserve anything, people. I'm going to be honest with you. You think about the salvation that God has blessed us with through His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got it all, and we didn't deserve or earn not one bit of it. He gave it to us because He loved us and cared for us. I want to read, go back to the book of James. I've spent more time on wisdom than I meant to. But the more that I study this in God's Word, the more I feel it necessary for us in our lives, in this old world that we live in. I'm going to read again from the book of James concerning what we're looking at. The Bible says in the book of James, in verse 5, He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, we're not talking about a fleshly wisdom. We're not talking about an earthly wisdom. We're talking about a godly wisdom. Something out of this old world, something that's different than what goes on around us on a daily basis. I'm talking about something that God can give to us to help us as we travel through this old life and this old world that we're living in. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth, now listen, that giveth to all men liberally, that's plenty of it, upbraideth not, he doesn't hold it back, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, listen now, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we have to ask the Lord for things in faith, and we have to trust and believe in God that He's going to answer those prayers. I think so many times, because I'm going to tell you something. When you're living in this whole world, and this whole world's shooting at you on every side, and Satan's trying to knock you down and everything, and every way that you go and stuff, you know, faith, sometimes that's a hard thing to have. When you just completely accept it because this old flesh gets in the way. And I think about that man that brought his child to the disciples to cure him of being possessed. And the disciples couldn't do it. And so they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said, how long a time shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And he told the daddy, he said, how long has this been going on? He said, since he was just a small child. He said, but if you can do anything, Lord, help us this day, help us. And Jesus told the man, he said, if you can only believe, all things are possible. And the man told Jesus this. He told him the truth. It's important for us to always tell the Lord the truth, because the Bible says the man said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. We're living in a world where sin abounds on every side, and we're wrestling and we're struggling with this old flesh in this old world. And God, help us to set our eyes and our affections and our faith on Him and tell Him the truth of all things. Lord, help my weakness in my faith. Help me to believe on You, Lord, as I should. I want to look in the book of Revelations in chapter 3. Still looking at man's wisdom. Revelations chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works. Now this is the Laodicean church, the times that we're living now. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee or vomit thee out of my mouth. It sounds to me like the church there is just straddling the fence. They're just sitting right in the middle. You look at the way things are now. Nobody wants to take a stand today for what is right and what is true. And what is true? Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is truth. But we want to sit on the middle of the fence, and depending on the way everybody else is swayed, either fall to the left or fall to the right. We don't want to take a stand. We don't want to take a stand for the Lord and be on fire for the Lord and serve Him. And God help us. Listen, I'm talking to Lee too. Because I have trouble with this old flesh of mine. It gets in my way every day that I live. God, help us to seek the Lord and destroy this old flesh. But it says here, He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now that's what man looks at in this old world. He looks at what he can gain and what he can have, and we forget that all these things are going to burn up. They're going to burn up. They're going to go away. And listen to me. I've said this before and I'll say it again. There is nothing in this world that we have. We don't own anything. We don't hold anything. We can hop up and we say, well, you know, my home is mine. It's paid for. I worked for it. Listen, who blessed you with the health to go to work? Do you know there's a lot of people and stuff, people ask me when I go into work, and I'm pretty sorry now, I don't work but one day a week. But they'll tell me when I go into work, said, Lee, are you glad to be here? I said, I'd rather be here in a lot of places I know. I said, there's a lot of people would like to swap places with me. Just to be able to get up and go to a job, and they're not able to get up. Goes back to what I was saying a while ago about thanking the Lord for His mercy, His grace, and His kindness. The Bible says here, because thou sayest, because this is what you think, that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You don't even realize that. You don't have a clue as to what's going on in your life. Too blind to see. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even also as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I was interested in what he said up here, where he said, thou knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Blind. And then he goes on to say down here, he said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see us. Now he's talking here to the church, and he's talking to the church about the church being blind. Just sitting there straddling the fence, think everything's good, everything's great, and there's people all around suffering, lost, and on the way to the devil's hell. And we're not concerned. We're not concerned. See, now that troubles me. Because my desire is to be a better witness than what I am. And every time I go in that store or I'm around people, I ask the Lord, help me in some way to be a witness. Help me to be a servant. Help me to be a light in a world that's in darkness, to bring honor and glory to your name, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be servants. We're supposed to set our eyes and our affections on the Lord and seek to do His will. But you know, it's sort of a hard thing in this old world to be a witness anymore, because people don't want to hear anything about the Word of God. They don't want to hear anything about the Word of God, and believe me, they'll tear you off and cuss you out. I walked with a man out to a car one day talking to him, inviting him to church. And he laughed me right in my face. Said, that'll be the day when somebody sees me in church. I didn't say nothing to him, but I thought they're going to roll you in there one of these days if they don't cremate you. But I said, they'll roll you in there one day and it'll be too late then to think about it. Because while that old shell of a body is laying there, if you don't know Jesus as Lord, you'll open your eyes up in hell. That's plain and simple. There's no hidden between the licks on that. That's just plain and simple. You're either saved and on your way to the Lord's heaven, or you're on the way to the devil's hell. That's between you and the Lord, because He's made a way for you to avoid it. He's made a way for you to avoid it. But I was interested in the blindness and the eyesight. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 3. And the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Listen to what the Scripture says now. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Bible says, Paul writing here said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, speaking of Satan, hath blinded their minds. Well, now the Bible's telling me right here very plainly and stuff that Satan can blind the mind of the lost. Well, what about the ones that saved? Can he blind the minds of the one that's saved? I believe according to the scripture there at the church of the Laodiceans, he can do that too. If we let ourselves get out of the will of the Lord. If we let this old flesh get in the way, the Bible tells us very plainly what's going to happen to us. We're going to get relaxed. We're going to get to looking around us. We're going to think we got plenty of stuff. We're in good shape. Ain't no sense in worrying about nothing. Because everything's covered. It's taken care of. And the Lord told the church at Laodicea, you blind. You blind. You can't see. And the Bible says here, the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Now the last count I had, your mind is what you think with. It's what you reason with. Some of us. There's questions sometimes. When we get in a certain state where our mind's working or not. Because when we get to acting silly, it'd be a whole different story. But here, God's Word tells us that the devil can blind your mind. So that you cannot see. And we're talking about seeking a wisdom from God to prevent these kind of things. A wisdom from God. Let me go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Again, reading with verse 18. Listen to what the Bible says now. He said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now listen to what the scripture says there. He said, if any man, hold on here, Brother David, I'm getting there. You won't have to let me get back to where I was lost again. Say, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And we're going back to what the scripture says about Solomon in the book of Kings that I read about. You remember what Solomon prayed? He prayed for wisdom from the Lord. And what did he tell God? He told God, he said, I'm like a child. He said, I don't know how to go out or to come in. He said, I'm in that bad of shape, Lord. He said, I ain't got enough sense to come in out of the weather. And I need your help. That's what he said in Kings. And here, this is what the Bible's saying. If a man seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. According to the nature of man's mind and the way that man thinks. The Bible says, let him become a fool in this world that he may be wise. He said, for the wisdom of this world, once again we're talking about man's wisdom. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain or they are worthless. Talking about after the things of man, after the things of the world. There is a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Man's wisdom will let us down. The Bible just tells us very plainly and stuff, if we think that we're so smart, we need to get sort of stupid. We need to get like Solomon and say, Lord, I ain't got enough sense coming out of the weather. Won't you please help me, Lord? Give me the wisdom that I need. And we need God's wisdom in our everyday life, in everything that we do. From our matters with our husbands and our wives, and how to treat one another, to our financial matters. Listen, if God owns everything, holds it in the palm of His hand, is He not the one that we should be seeking after to guide us? in what little that we think we possess? Let's look in the book of Psalms, chapter 68. Begin with verse 18. He said, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Listen to what the Bible says here. And this is speaking of Jesus. He said, Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men. Listen to what the Scripture says. Yea, for the rebellious also. Listen to what the Bible says. God's not only good to those who are saved, but He's good to those that are lost. The Bible says He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. He's good to everybody in this old world. He loves everybody in this old world. What did the Bible say right there and stuff? It said that the Lord God might dwell among them. Now listen, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Listen to what the Scripture says. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. How much more benefit could we have than to be saved by the grace of God? How much more benefit could we have in this old world? How much greater riches could we have in this old world than to be saved by the grace of God and to have that salvation? How much more could we have? But the Bible says what? He loadeth us daily with benefits. Loadeth us. You know what that means? That means that you don't walk up with your hands stuck out. You back a truck up. He loads us with His benefits. That's the reason I said earlier tonight and stuff, let us praise the Lord for being good to us every day that we live. You say, well, Brother Lee, I'm going through a hard time right now. We may be. Listen, don't you think I don't sympathize with you if you're going through a hard time. If you're going through a hard time and you need somebody to pray with you or pray for you, you let me know. If you don't think I'll pray for you, you're mistaken. I'll get on my knees in a heartbeat and pray for you. I believe in prayer. I believe in reaching out to God because I don't know what God's will is on everything. But I'm to cry out to Him and call upon Him for my brothers and my sisters and for the lost of this old world, that the lost might be saved. How good is He to us? He loads us daily with benefits. How good can the Lord be to us? And like I said, I know that it's hard when you're going through trials and tribulations and trouble. But I think about what Jesus said. Jesus said this. He said, now listen, the Lord is truthful and honest. He's not going to beat around the bush. He's going to tell you, if you read your Bible, you'll find out that the Lord's going to look you right straight in the eye and tell you just the way it is. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He said, you're going to have it. He said, He didn't say anything. You won't find in the Scripture where He said you might have it, you could have it, could pop up. He said, ye shall have tribulation, troubles, distress, discouragement, sorrow. But He said a little bit more. He said, be of good cheer. You know what that means? That means that when you are stuck in bottom dirt, lift your eyes up and say, Lord, thank You for being good with me and for being with me while I'm in this deep old hole, that I am not down here by myself. I have not been left alone, that You've been with me the whole time. Every step that I've made, Lord, You've been with me. Lord, when I couldn't walk, You carried me. When I've been laid up sick, You've healed me. You've made a way for me in everything, Lord, in all things that have gone on. You have been there for me. You've cared for me, and You love me. And He said, I have overcome the world. And let me tell you something, because He overcome the world, we're in Him, and we're going to be overcomers, because we're going home one of these days out of this old sinful world that we're in now. How much better could it be to us, church? How much better could it be to us? Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Start reading in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This is going back to what we just read in Psalms. It said, wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now the Bible's talking here about gifts and giving gifts to men. And there's never been a gift that was given to men by the Lord from on high that He intended for you to shut that up inside of you and just keep it inside of you. But He gave it to you to help others. That's what the Bible says here. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is the building up of the body of Christ. That's sort of simple. But that's what the Bible says. We're to build up the body of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, well, what am I doing? Am I working in the body of Christ to the building up of it, or am I tearing it down? Because we can work both ways, people. We can work both ways. A little bit too much talk be to the tearing down of it. If you want to help someone, deal with them. Don't deal with a bunch of other people about someone. You look on their needs. Look on the things that's happening to them. Pray for them. Pray for them that God would help them. That's reading the Bible. Said in the book of Galatians, what it does, He said, chapter 6, verse 1, said, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, said ye which are spiritual. You don't read nothing there about busybodies. It said, ye which are spiritual. It said, what? Restore. It didn't say kick out. It didn't say walk on. It didn't say stomp. Now we're talking about a wisdom from the Lord. This is wisdom from the Lord right here, that we treat one another like we won't be treated. And not only like we will be treated, but we treat one another as the Lord Jesus Christ would treat us. Because that's the way that we're supposed to do. We're going to get a little further into that. Now listen to what the Bible says. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's oneness together, in unity of the faith, and of the knowledge, now listen, knowledge, we're talking about wisdom, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, what is the Bible telling us to do here? He said, well, till we all come in the unity of the faith being in Christ Jesus, and we all come together in that one unity together, that we are together just like our old body is together. You ever tried separating this body? Now, I fell a few times and tried to do that. It really hurts. And you know, I didn't succeed in it neither and stuff. It was still there when I got up. It wasn't just exactly like it was when I hit the ground, but it was still there. And it's hard to separate the body. And the Bible tells us that we are the body of Christ. And we're all members one of another. And so it should be hard to separate us. The Bible says that we all come together in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen, as long as we're in this old fleshly body, we're never going to be perfect. I'm going to leave this raggedy thing behind one of these days. I've heard a lot of people say this. I'll be glad to leave this old world and leave the devil behind. I'll be glad to leave Lee behind. You understand what I'm saying? Because this old fleshly man gives me more trouble than the devil does. The devil can tempt me, but he can't make me do anything. See, we want to blame somebody. Well, it was the devil's fault. Or it was so-and-so's fault. We fall short on accepting responsibility. We fall real short on accepting responsibility. But this old fleshly man is sinful by nature. And this old body will never go into the presence of the Lord. But the Bible is telling us here that we are to strive to be a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we are to strive to be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in everything, in all things that we do. Paul said, I keep this body of mine under subjection. Said, I have to die daily so that Christ can live through this old fleshly man. It's a struggle that we go through every day that we live to keep this old man under control. And this old world that we live in makes it that much harder. Because there was a time when I was growing up that there were certain things that was not even mentioned. And now then anything and everything that wants to be brought up or talked about, anywhere and everywhere you go, it's there just slapping you in the face. Just slapping you in the face. The devil is certainly doing his job to reach out and try to destroy God's people. You better pay attention to him. You better pay attention to him. You better set your eyes on the Lord. And keep them on the Lord. The Bible says that we're to become like Jesus. Set our eyes and our affections on him. The Bible says that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or the tricks of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Now we got a lot of that going on today. We got a lot of false preaching going on today. We got a lot of doctrines today. But I'm here to tell you there's only one doctrine, one scripture, one Bible, one God, one Jesus, one Holy Ghost, and there is nothing else but that. But that. We're going to have to come to a point in our lives, and listen, I've said this before, and I continue saying this because I believe that there's coming a time in this old world. I don't know that I'll live to see it. I don't know. And then again, it may not be that far down the road. That we're going to suffer persecution because of our faith in the Lord. And when I say suffer persecution, that's what I mean, suffer persecution. They're going to do everything in this world to silence God's Word and God's people. They're going to try to silence us. You can call it what you want to. You can call it a hate crime. Because something is preached against. And may I remind you, when something is preached against, It's not preaching against the people. It's preaching against the sin. See, because God loved this world. You know what this world is? That's every man. For He so loved this whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved every sinner that ever walked in this whole world. That's the reason I love it. And I've told you before, I love that scripture about John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming to the river. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus done away with the sin of the world. All the sins of the world have been paid for. They've been paid for. He paid for every one of them. And if you die and go to hell, you'll go there as an intruder, because God never intended for you to die and go to hell. Never intended. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now that's going back to what I was talking about a while ago. It's hard to tear this body apart. This body is pretty well joined together, this old fleshly body. Now you can get yourself in a mess sometimes and get yourself hurt pretty bad, but it's pretty hard just to rip it, slam apart. And here the Bible's talking right now. He said, in Christ, which is the head, said the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There's the second time that edifying comes in. First one was in verse 12. It said, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Here we are in verse 16. It says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or building up of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In the vainness of their mind. Now we're talking once again of godly wisdom. He said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, or this old fleshly mind. Because God knows that this old mind that we have is vain. It's no good for nothing. It's no good for nothing. The Bible says, having the understanding being darkened, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the, now here we are again, because of the blindness of their heart. Being blind once again, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him, now listen, have heard Him, have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now the Bible says right here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're to strive toward, is having the mind of Christ. having the mind of Christ. And Brother Mike, I'm going to stop right here tonight.